Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
In 86, Anna Martin wrote the first book of what became a cult. Now it's time, the Babysitter's Club.
And here we are together here again.
I am. It's me.
Yes.
Tanner.
And I'm Jack.
Green Ring.
Shepherd. And what do you want? You want something from me? You want me to say something? Let's say what I'm going to say. I'm going to say this. You know what we've been having?
You, Jack. I just want your presence. I want your light in my life.
Yeah.
I want you to... I'm trying to think of a joke from the film we watched.
Okay.
But it's pretty problematic.
What about this? It's not that problematic. There are like
pretty
a few problematic.
There's a pretty deep. There's a running joke about Thor being an, and I quote.
Okay, yeah, yes, that part. Great. What this energy coming into this is the worst.
I texted you last night at I think around midnight.
Yeah, the film
when I was
probably
watching the film, and I was like, this film has lots of issues, and right, you were like, and it's, I don't see any issues.
I didn't say that. I said, I'll recount the text to you if you want to hear it. You texted me last night out of nowhere, and you were like, hey, this film is pretty problematic, because I suggested it.
Yeah.
You're like, hey, this film is pretty problematic. And I responded, oh, weird. It didn't seem problematic in the late 80s.
Yeah.
Which is funny.
I think I was responding to all the Thor is a stuff.
Okay, they say it twice, and now you've said it twice. And so now
they
you
it,
in the film.
They say it a lot.
They say it twice. I don't want to talk about it anymore. That part's it's not good. Let's take a second and sit back and acknowledge
that. I'm not sure they've ever made that
film.
Character. I think it's fine if Thor is gay. I'm not sure they've ever made that character choice for Thor. Okay.
All right. There goes my hero. He's ordinary. And that's about you. The film was made in the late 80s, and so there are some things that are not up to code, and that's one of them. That's the biggest one. We will not be dwelling on it.
Portrayal of people of color in the film,
and that's not great either.
That conversation?
No, I specifically saying I don't.
So you agree with me that the film has its issues?
Yes, I said that.
Okay, we watched a film, The Baby Nation.
Yeah, we watched a film. And you're welcome. And
I hope I've signaled my virtues, brilliantly enough,
loud and clear, and clear. You're like positively pulsating, with your virtues. There goes
it's like
my
a
hero.
Pulsar,
yes,
almost. Just two big beams of virtue shooting out of my head.
You and I, Tanner, for the last 5 years of our life, have been having adventures in babysitting, have we not?
Hmm.
And now, finally, here it is. This is where we've arrived. The culmination of our knowledge. The culmination of our learning and our understanding in this one perfect film. And it's not perfect, is it? Because there are some problematic elements.
Any way.
But it is very good, apart from those things. And it's called Adventures in Babysitting.
I've never seen this film.
I watched it as a...
I barely heard of it.
Really?
God. Yeah. But I got to say, was pretty charmed by it at first until it started getting pretty...
It hasn't. Let's just drop it.
Okay, hasn't aged well. I mean, as long as we all understand that, and as long as we can move forward and talk about it in a productive way,
we
can be critical of it and
movie.
Still have fun with it.
I was 8 years old when
just
this
like
film
we can be
out.
Critical of The Road and still have fun with it.
Yeah, just like I guess
which
we
talked
were.
About last week, and by last week I mean Jack and I are actually talking about it tomorrow. But you heard the episode last week.
You don't need to know that. Yeah, what was it like? Tell us.
Probably sad.
We don't know. Probably pretty sad. That book's a real bummer.
Yeah. We're both in various states of being done with the book. I don't think I'm a little further along than you, and I'm not having fun with it.
We can't talk about it yet. We're going to talk about it tomorrow, but for you, it was last week, unless you're listening to these episodes out of order. Listen, this week we watched Adventures in Babysitting. I want to tell you a little bit about my experience with Adventures in Babysitting. Okay. When this movie came out, it was 1987, and babysitting was in the air, wasn't it? Babysitting was in the air. Anna Martin had invented the concept 1 year prior.
Yeah.
And introduced an unsuspecting virgin world to the concept of babysitting. And everybody loved it, didn't they? And they were like, we want more babysitting. We want babysitting on the silver screen.
Here's the thing. I like babysitting. Yeah. I like what you're doing with the concept. And I'm not a reader.
How can I get babysitting injected directly into my eyeballs, they said.
Well, I'll tell you how, Jack.
Yeah. And it's a movie.
Enter 15th century Italian explorer Christopher Columbus.
Yes. Yes.
Discovered America. Well, didn't discover it. You know, obviously it was pretty problematic in his own right. And if we want to get into that, we can too here. Yeah. If this is the proper venue for crimes that Christopher Columbus has done. Is this the right venue for that?
Yeah, let's hear your stance on Christopher Columbus now.
Bad.
There goes my hero. He's ordinary.
Thank you.
And that's about you. And Christopher Columbus, I should tell you, is different. The director is different. The producer is different.
What does that mean?
He did it at all the movies in the 80s, Christopher Columbus. He did literally all the movies. So you were bringing this up prior to recording as if you were like, hey, this guy called Christopher Columbus did the movie and it sounds like the explorer. And my response is, that's, I think, one of the most famous director producers of all time and did literally every single movie throughout the 80s and the 90s. Every single one.
All I know is his world exploration.
Okay.
Feats.
Yeah.
His feats of world exploration.
Yes. Okay. Well, he did every single movie and he did Adventures in Babysitting. I think it was probably a smash hit.
You said he directed every movie in the 80s, is what you said.
Yeah, in the 80s.
I'm on his IMDb page. He directed two movies in the 80s.
Okay.
Adventures in Babysitting and Heartbreak Hotel.
Those are the only two movies that I care about in that decade.
He directed a lot of movies in the 90s.
Okay, fine. This is where he really came into his own. So that's another thing that we have Anne to thank for. She launched, much like
the career of Christopher
Ferdinand
Columbus
and Isabella.
I also say Anne, most people call him Chris Columbus.
I'm saying something funny.
Yeah.
Much like Ferdinand and Isabella, Anne launched Christopher Columbus into the discovery of a new world.
There goes my hero. He's ordinary.
Thank you. I think it was Ferdinand and Isabella. I got that right. We loved the movie. It's great.
It was fun.
So I was 8 years old when this came out, and I watched it. And guess who I watched it with? My cousin, who introduced me to the Babysitters Club.
Pip.
She was like, they put babysitting on the big screen now. And I remember watching it.
They pulled it off.
My aunt.
You were like one of those Russian people with the train coming down the track on the screen.
Yeah.
You're just like, babysitting on the screen?
What?
Yeah. I'm glad Pip introduced you to... Pip really wanted you to be in the babysitting club.
She really wanted me to be in the babysitting club, in the babysitting world. And my aunt, Pip's mother, Jennifer.
Big Jen.
Was one of these folks who always got the latest technology. And so she had a
Gen
big screen.
X. That's a cool nickname for her. If she's getting all
great.
The latest. What do you mean?
Because it's not great because I still haven't finished the sentence.
Call her Gen X.
Okay, fine. And yes, Gen X. And she would always have the latest technology and she got a large screen television. And but it was like, imagine. Big screen TV, I guess you don't even talk about big screen TVs anymore because like they're just
big,
like, how big is your TV? But this one was like, You know how TVs, well, okay, so young folks who listen to our show, TVs used to go around, but also backwards.
TVs used to just take up a room.
And they would go backwards. And so if you had a large screen television, like a really big one.
That's a wall.
that's a monster.
Quarter of your living room.
It was like a cabinet. Yeah. But I did watch Adventures in Babysitting on that television probably a couple times, and I loved it.
Yeah.
And I did think for probably until I was in my teens at least, maybe into my 20s, that Thor, the character, was an invention of this movie.
And what did you think of his sexual preference?
I was probably very progressive about it at the time and continue to excoriate and... absolutely tut-tut this film for having been pretty fucked up and problematic on the topic.
What do you mean? Now I'm confused. Hero. You're saying it's fucked up for someone to be gay?
That's the implication of the movie. And they make the joke a couple times. I was hoping that we'd stay off of it. It is,
yeah,
it's
but
bad.
You brought us back, baby.
Okay.
You brought us back. This little girl is so obsessed with Thor. And not like
it's cool.
Fun Chris Hemsworth Thor. It's like old-timey Thor. It's like, what's his face? Jack Kirby Thor.
Okay, I'm interested. Tell me more. So the girl, we're going to have to describe the plot of the film. The film is Adventures in Babysitting. As you know, what we've always done since the beginning of time is talk about iconic babysitters of history. And in this case, the iconic babysitter is Elizabeth Shue. And we have explored now the Babysitter's Club, The Mandalorian, Waterworld.
Hey, Jack.
The babysitter.
She's a shoe.
The road. And what's the joke?
She's a shoe.
Elizabeth Shue. It's that's the joke. Okay, and there's there you don't have anything else to add to it?
Do I need more?
I guess not. It's Elizabeth Shue. She's beautiful, and she's a babysitter. And it's a movie about babysitting. And she babysits Sarah and a boy who's roughly her age,
2 years younger. This is something that came up in the Babysitter's Club books.
In the novels. Babysitter's Guide to Babysitting, specifically.
From time to time. Sometimes you run into trouble where the person you're babysitting is too close to you in age. And sometimes you run into trouble where the person you're babysitting is deeply in love with you.
Yes, and that has happened in the BSC books.
I think Byron was deeply in love with Stacy.
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah. The boy is called... Brad.
Big Brad.
And it's Adventures in Babysitting. If you haven't watched it, it's a 1987 film by Christopher Columbus and written by David Simpkins. And it's got Elizabeth Shue in it, and it's good. And we should describe the plot. And whose turn is it? I think it's your turn.
No, it's certainly not my turn.
I described The Road last week.
Fuck me. God. Well, I'm glad I get to describe this novel and not The Road. I'll say that now.
Yeah. So
all right. How we do it in this?
I give you 80 seconds, but I actually just play dramatic music, so try to rise to the occasion of that. And you say what happens in this video novel. It's good. It's tons of fun. It's very
tons
fun.
Tons of fun. Yeah, it was good. I know we have a lot of issues with it, but it was really fun.
And I loved it as an 8-year-old. I thought it was just fucking fantastic.
Sure. And I didn't see it before, last night.
Yeah.
But I liked it as a 36-year-old.
Yeah. We learned a lot about babysitting. I mean, we were able to bring our extensive and prodigious babysitting knowledge to bear on this movie as experts.
Yeah.
In a way that was very rewarding and in a way that you probably can't understand if you don't have the same sort of professional expertise that we have.
Shall I start?
Yes.
Okay. How do we do it? You mute yourself?
I give you 80 seconds. I'm not going to mute myself.
Please don't. Please interject if you feel the need to. When should
Ready,
I start?
Go.
Okay. So Madeline Stilwell from The Boys is a babysitter, and she's dating Josh Lyman. And he blows her off because his sister's sick. So... she takes a babysitting gig and she goes over there, and there's a girl who's obsessed with Thor, and there's a boy who's in love with her, and then the guy from Rent is there too, and he is like a horn dog, and he wants to do intercourse with the babysitter, and she won't do
that.
That's
the halfway point.
Okay, and then they leave, and they go to the city to rescue a girl. And their car breaks down, and a guy with a hook hand saves them, and they end up at a jazz club, and they steal a Playboy from some mobsters, and the mobsters chase them around the city, and they end up at a big building in Chicago where the parents are, and then they defeat the mobsters and return back to the suburbs where they, everything is fine.
Okay, you still got 10 more seconds if you want.
Okay,
Do you want me to say what happened in the movie? Yeah. Okay. And time. Here's what happened in the movie. Elizabeth Shue babysits.
I did it all.
Terrible job. And she babysits for some kids. And then her friend is stuck at the railway station because she's run away.
Can we talk very briefly about how Elizabeth Shue is clearly Stacey McGill and the girl stuck at the train station is clearly Mallory Pike?
Mallory Pike. Yeah. 100%. I have that in my notes. That is exactly right. And this is what I'm saying. Babysitting was in the air. It was 87. There's no way that Chris Columbus was not looking, didn't have a big fucking frame photo of Anna Martin on his fucking wall when he wrote this movie.
It's like the thing where like Shakespeare has written, there's only like 27 stories and Shakespeare wrote them all and everything else is just iterations. It's that. Yeah. This is. Like,
yeah, and that's
there's only
this, and that's
one babysitting story. It's a Babysitter's Club, and everyone else is just kind of drafting.
And that's what we're doing with our podcast. We've recognized that every story ultimately is a babysitting story.
Yeah.
And we're doing them all, but we're starting with the most important one, which is Anne's, and then we're moving on.
Yep.
So Mallory is at the train station because she ran away, and Elizabeth Shue from Leaving Las Vegas has to, or what's your one? The Boys. Madeline Stilwell from The Boys has to take her babysitting charges to go and rescue her friend from the train station because there are like homeless people there. And again, the movie is not entirely
tricky,
unproblematic.
Tough stance on the homeless community.
Yeah. And
although I will say there's one scene, I guess it's a segment.
Yeah, okay.
Called Baller of the Week.
Okay, I've got that's my Baller of the Week too. I swear to God this is my Baller of the Week too. I swear to God. Yeah.
There Mallory Pike's on the phone with Madeline Stilwell and she's like, "You have to come get me." And she looks out the phone booth and there's a pervert man in like a black trench coat there and he pulls a handgun out of his belt. and looks at her and goes like, and like nods his head enthusiastically.
Chris, please hurry up and get here.
Brenda, I've got my mom's car. I can't drive it into the city.
Oh my God, there's a man with a gun. Get me the hell out of here.
Brenda, look, just hang up and sit down.
Don't move, I'll be there in half an hour. Oh, please hurry. I think he's gonna kill somebody. Maybe me.
Brenda?
She's in the phone booth, and Gen Z phone booth is like, it's like imagine if you had like an iPhone and that it was like inside a box that you could climb
like
in
a little
and
box.
You had to pay to use it.
Right.
That's like that. And she's like crying. And this dude is obviously just like, the whole time is just like waiting for her to catch his eye.
Yeah.
And then she like looks up and as soon as she catches his eye, he like pulls out a handgun and just like does this little dance, like,
like brandishes it. And he's like, "Look, I got a gun." And they do that cutaway like three times.
Yeah.
They just keep going back to this gentleman with the gun.
So on the way to pick her up, even though it is obviously against the rules of babysitting, a number of terrible events occur that make them fall afoul of a gang of car thieves. And those are the adventures in babysitting.
Those are the adventures in babysitting. Yes. They blow a tire. A kindly gentleman called, I don't know, I remember his name. He was cool.
He's called Pruitt.
Yeah, he's a bit of a maniac.
So I can tell you, I've written down the chain of disasters if you want. This is the butterfly effect
please,
with Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah. Is that a babysitting
film? So this is the... Excuse me?
Is that a babysitting film?
I haven't seen it. It's Butterflies, I think. It's a butterfly film. Okay. I haven't seen it. But this is the Butterfly Effect. So these are the events in my mind that turn what should have been a quiet night at home babysitting for a kid who seems definitely old enough to babysit by himself. He's certainly older by 2 years than Christy.
Yeah.
And his sister. So, except he's first of all,
apparently like unreliable.
I guess. Okay, they explain it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Josh Lyman cancels his date from the West Wing.
He's sort of like a bad really boy hunk.
Freaked my bean.
Yeah. They've cast him as a bad boy hunk.
The first scene is this, the first scene of this movie is Madeline Stilwell from The Boys is dancing around in her room, and then at the end of this like kind of fun dance she does with a teddy bear to like a cool 80s song.
It was not a cool 80s song. It was a doo-wop song from the
to a cool
50s.
Song. Okay, thank you for correcting every tiny like aspect.
We're fucking journalists, Jack. I say. Yeah, okay. Babysitter's Club journalists.
Thanks. It's helped. I think it's helped the podcast that you corrected that. And like, imagine if you hadn't seen the film
stuff
and you thought that the opening song was a different kind of song than the one I said. For
I don't
convenience
get why there was so
point.
Much stuff in the '80s that was obsessed with the '50s. Like, even later in this film, they get in, like, a
it's like
a
how we're obsessed
tiff.
With the 90s now, dude. Think about it. Fucking think about it. And think about it.
I'm not obsessed with the 90s.
Yes, you are. And yes, we all are. And think about it. And now that's what that is. And fucking live in that.
Podcast.
And now don't you feel old? Because that's what that
they
is.
They even, like, bump into some like, toughs on a train later in downtown Chicago.
Yeah.
And they're, like, West Side Story, like, greasers.
Yeah. It's the Warriors.
It's the Warriors, yeah.
Listen, at the beginning of the film, Elizabeth Shue is dancing around with her teddy bear to a cool song of some kind. And at the end of it, she kisses a photo. And I was like, did she just kiss a photo of Josh Lyman?
Right.
And that is who it is. And it freaked my damn bean.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing. That's a chain of disasters. Bradley Whitford cancels the date.
Yeah, his sister's sick.
His sister's sick, he says. And then the second disaster is that Mallory gets stuck at the train station. And then the car gets a flat on the way there. And then Elizabeth Shue loses her wallet. And then they get picked up by this tow truck driver, Pruitt. And while he's taking them, and his intentions are good, but he gets a phone call that his wife is cheating on him. And that's the next disaster. And then while he's like going to shoot the lover of his wife, they hide in the lover's car, and a man is in the middle of stealing the car.
Joe Gibb is his name.
And then, yeah, and he's good.
They insist on calling him by his full name throughout the film.
Yeah.
He's sort of charming.
He's charming.
Rogue.
He's rakish.
Rogue.
Everyone else in the car thief gang wants to kill the children.
Yeah, they
all
kill
children. And
that's
bad babysitting.
He's not into killing children. He, for some reason, decides to invite them back to the chop shop.
Yeah.
He's like, listen, I stole the car. You're in it. That's an issue, obviously.
Right. Yeah.
But, like, we're also in a neighborhood where if I was to let you get out of the car now, you would die instantly.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take you to a chop shop.
Right,
where
which
bad
is like,
men are doing bad business.
Where like my fucking co-conspirators are like ruthless criminals who are definitely going to kill you.
And they do want to. The bad guys.
Yeah.
But instead they lock them in an office where the guy from Rent and Star Trek, the new Star Trek show.
Okay.
Steals a Playboy magazine.
Yeah.
Where they've taken notes.
Yeah.
About their dealings, which can be turned in to, like, you know, put them in jail.
And then when they escape, they take the Playboy magazine with them because they had previously lost the same Playboy magazine.
And it was his dad's, the guy from Rent.
It was his dad's. And the reason that they had it in the first place is because there was a centerfold who looked a lot like Elizabeth Shue, and they do objectify her a lot, don't they, in the show?
They do. Everyone does. A lot of people do.
Yeah.
including a bunch of frat boys from the University of Chicago or something.
And then she marries a frat boy.
Yeah, they end up, God, it's such a journey they go on.
It's such a journey, and that's actually my hashtag swoon of the week.
The boy.
And it's the frat boy, and it's hashtag swoon is something that the teens say on TikTok, and actually nobody's even on TikTok anymore. It's the whatever the latest thing is.
So Parler. So yeah, you want your the thing you like is this 19-year-old adult?
Yeah, yeah.
Chasing after this 17-year-old high school girl.
That seems
that's fine by you.
Yeah, that's fine by me. And what he says, just for the sake of brevity of our podcast, that is fine. Let's just say that's fine by me.
You were coming out with a lot of strong opinions about things this week.
She's a senior and he's a freshman in college. And
the movie paints it as fine. The movie's like, this is fine.
At the end of the film, he shows up. After all the adventures are over, and she's and he shows up because he like brings some toy that the child has lost, and he hands it to Elizabeth Shue, and it's the 1 hour and 36 minute mark, and he says that's not that funny, and he says
I'm looking for a babysitter,
and then Elizabeth Shue says,
well, I think tonight was my last job,
and then he's like he just like fucking. Huh. Waits. He just like hangs tight and waits because he needs her to say something for the joke to work. And then she goes,
who is the babysitter for?
And then he goes, me.
Me.
Adult baby.
And it's adult baby,
he's
isn't it?
He's part of the adult baby fetish community.
Okay, perfect.
And he was like sort of gauging her reaction.
It,
like,
and I walked into it, didn't I?
Me?
Yeah. And she's like, and I walked into it.
Oh, okay.
And I should have seen that coming. Yeah, and that's the end of the hashtag.
And he's like, I made a boom boom.
Okay, perfect. And then so you know, seem to know a lot about how to do this. And they do have a kiss. And it's a beautiful film. I've got a lot.
That's the
that
song,
I want.
The popular 80s song that they play at the beginning of the film. It's called And Then He Kissed Me. And then that, they play it again because then the frat boy does kiss her.
He does.
And
do
also,
a
they
kiss
do
with
jazz, blues.
They do blues, yes.
They end up at a blues club. And apparently, the first rule of blues club is you can't leave Blues Club without singing the blues.
It fucking owns, and they sing, and we'll play a clip of it. They sing a song called The Babysitting Blues.
Yeah.
The tire had a blowout, and my mom's car got shot up.
And these guys started to chase us.
And we all got hijacked.
We're cruising down the highway.
This big old Cadillac, and it's so hard.
Yeah! It's so hard.
Babysitting these guys.
She got the babysitting blue.
Baby, baby, babysitting blue.
I've got the babysitting blues.
Then they go to a hospital because the boy gets stabbed in the foot, sort of. And while they're there, the guy who was sleeping with the maniac's wife is there.
Shows up.
So is the maniac who helps them escape.
It's a beautiful movie.
It's so complex. And you just like, you think you got a second to like rest and catch your breath, but then just something even wilder comes along. Little girl ends up sort of traversing the side of a skyscraper.
Yeah. And that actually gave me vertigo.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's pretty intense.
And then Vincent D'Onofrio's there, and he's like a creep or like a weirdo. Mm-hmm. But his heart melts when a little girl says that he's Thor.
Oh, that's Vincent D'Onofrio
from Men in Black.
More water.
Yeah, and he is Thor. Yes, and he the girl is obsessed with her name is Sarah. She's obsessed with Thor. I would like to argue that she is a Loki figure.
She's a Loki figure.
Yeah.
Trickster.
So the way that it works is that Sarah is the main baby in this novel.
Yes.
And she's dressed as Thor, but she represents chaos. During every crisis, like throughout every crisis, when the crisis occurs, when they get a flat tire, she's like thrilled about it and laughs.
Yeah.
When they like end up in a car that's in the midst of being stolen, she laughs and she's like, this is awesome.
Have you seen 2018's Joker?
No.
Okay.
But thank you for asking me that. It kind of while I was in the middle of saying something else.
Well, and Joker in 2018's it. Joker might have been 2018.
Because a lot of listening is asking questions, isn't it? And isn't it asking questions? And this is my question to you.
A lot of listening sort of is asking disorder questions.
Even if someone else is talking.
When something makes him upset, he laughs.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if she's a Joker-like figure. And maybe Joker's a Loki-like figure. And maybe they're all...
Yes. I'm sure it's all connected, and that's what Christopher Columbus is doing. I'm arguing that she represents chaos, and she's dressed as Thor, but she acts as Loki. And that's interesting. She is, in some ways, the catalyst for this film going off the rails. She is embracing the chaos. She's embracing the adventures in babysitting. She's creating the adventures. Babysitting is not something that should be adventurous or adventuresome. And yet this child...
Do I think that's true? The Babysitter's Club went on a lot of adventures when they were babysitting.
They did burn a man.
They burned a man. Tommy Sue got stuck in that well.
Yep. There was a dog thief.
Claudia broke her leg.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Babysitting is an adventure.
I want to talk to you about the numerous babysitting metaphors that shine through this intricate and high concept video novel. But first I would like for us to take a short break.
I have no issue with that.
Okay. Hey everybody, it's Jack again with a brand new update about the delightful family mystery mobile game June's Journey. I have been making real progress solving puzzles and getting stuff to put on my cool estate in the fun world of mystery, danger, and romance that's conjured up by June's Journey, a game set in the roaring 20s about a daring young woman named June who's traveling to her sister's estate to uncover scandalous family secrets and customizing her own luxurious estate island in the process. Tanner, unfortunately, is still pretty convinced by the ad brief we were sent that he has actually been assigned on a real secret mission to uncover the killer of June's sister, Claire. The good news is that after some extremely frustrating conversations with the unbelievably patient people at the Central Connecticut Steamship Authority, I was able to clear up the fracas regarding the steamship that Tanner rented. But the bad news is that, if I'm reading this hastily scrawled missive correctly, he appears to have gotten himself horribly lost in a hedge maze in Würzburg, which I think is in Germany. According to the secret code on the back of the letter, which to be clear, he's just written this part upside down, he is in good spirits and he is hot on the tail of Grandma Heath, and I shouldn't worry, but could I please send him 40 ducats in an unmarked envelope so that he can bribe the butler, which sounds both complicated and questionably legal. I'm going to keep you guys posted on this, but in the meantime, you can discover your inner detective just like I have when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. I have to go. There is apparently a carrier pigeon at the door with a new message from Tanner.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Babysitting, Tanner?
Yep.
Is an emergency. It is a dynamic act that exists in a natural state of tension between innocence and experience. Babysitting, I'm talking. Mm-hmm. Babysitting is a temporary orphaning. It is a fire drill for the inevitable loss of the agents and the guardians that protect us from the world. But importantly, although it contains all of these traumas inside its praxis, it is ultimately just a performance of these crises, one that will be remedied at the moment of babysitting's end, when the parents return and the world is set right again. This film explores those themes and makes manifest that idea. What babysitting is the subject of this film. And throughout this film, we see babysitting as a metaphor and babysitting as an idea brought about in manifold different ways. One obvious one is this concept of babysitting as control.
Okay.
At the 28 minute and 30 second mark, when things are starting to really go off the rails, the car has been stolen and they're careening into the darkness. What does Elizabeth Shue say? What does she do? How does she handle it? She becomes babysitter. She takes on the mantle of babysitter and tells the boy that he needs to stop eating chocolate because it'll hurt his acne. And she tells Sarah that she's got to take her cough syrup. And she tells Daryl to buckle up his seatbelt.
The chick is losing it.
I am not.
You guys want some candy?
Brad, no chocolate. Your acne. Sarah, it is time for your cough syrup. Daryl, fasten the seatbelt.
She's definitely losing it.
I am not losing anything. I am still in control here.
Then we have a moment we've talked about before, you and I. The moment where they go into the blues club and are forced to sing a song about the babysitting blues before they're allowed to leave the club. And this is, of course, is babysitting as artistic expression, right? This is the moment I was talking about where babysitting is a performance, right? It's a performance. Yep. It's an art. And then you, of course, have throughout this babysitting from a Freudian perspective. Right at the 48-minute mark, Brad, the boy who has a crush on Elizabeth Shue, says you should give other men a chance.
Did you call him Brad because his name is Bradley Whitford?
No, his name is Brad, and Bradley Whitford's name is Josh Lyman. But the boy's name, who's one of the kids, is called Brad, and that's irrelevant to the fact that Bradley Whitford's name is Josh Lyman. I hope I've explained that.
The boy is Brad.
Yes.
Bradley Whitford.
Yes.
Is Josh Lyman.
Yes. Is
so
that helpful?
Confusing.
Yeah. But I think we've cleared it up. He says,
I just think you should give other guys a chance.
Like who?
Well, like...
Don't say it. Don't say it.
Like me?
And then Elizabeth Shue says,
well, it's just that you're a child.
Right.
Right? And then later in the frat house at the 1 hour and 8 minute mark, Daryl... The horn dog from Rent, I guess?
He's from Rent, yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that. But
6,500 minutes.
And thank you for singing. And he, a sorority sister, chooses to...
Star Trek.
To
fight him. That is one of my cons, one of my big cons.
Babysitting,
Babysitting pros and cons. Do not let your babysitting charge be... Yeah. Related by a college student.
Her boyfriend sees it and he says,
oh, you're a dead kid.
I didn't touch her. I'm just a child.
Right? And so it's this what's the word that,
you got
that works?
Fellatio on the mind, huh? It's tough to focus.
It's this reification of the idea of babysitting as a loss of innocence, right?
Yeah.
Where babysitting exists in this liminal state. We've talked about it before. It's the tension between the sitter and the sat. If you're a babysitter, by definition, you're at an inflection point between childhood and adulthood. Elizabeth Shue brings it up at the beginning of this film.
Yeah.
She says, I'm too old to babysit, but she's not quite, right? Babysitting is at this seesaw point between childhood and adulthood.
Right. Not yet a man. Is not- it? Still a girl, not yet a woman, as Britney Spears said.
That's what Britney Spears says. Is it an accident, Tanner, that the primary point of tension in this film comes from the fact that the children have stolen a Playboy from the adults, right?
Man, that's sex stuff.
They've taken on the mantle.
So naughty.
Right? It's this moment of transition. It's this liminal point.
Right.
The film is an exploration of everything that it means to be human through the lens of babysitting. It's taking babysitting. Adventures in Babysitting is another way of saying living. Isn't it?
It's a pretty stark contrast from last week's episode.
And what did we say on that
one? I presume. Because it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of good living happening on that one. You know? So... I'm glad babysitting has finally kind of taken on this life force again.
Well, that's what Chris Columbus saw.
Yeah, and the New World.
Yeah. Right? But that's exactly right. It's the New World. I just think this is a really powerful movie, and I think it's the most important movie ever made.
A ring, ring.
And what's now happening? Because it sounds like there's
ring,
a phone
ring,
ringing.
Ring, ring.
Is it on your side? Do you hear it?
Ring, ring. Ring, ring.
I think it's on my side.
I think it's your desk phone.
Okay, I'm just going to answer it, I guess.
Maybe we should insert that sound effect that's like the 24 ringtone where it's like, like office.
Yeah.
Ringtone.
Yeah. Oh, I think I hear that now. I got to get this. Hello, this is Jack Bauer.
Jack Bauer. It's, Hello?
Hello?
Hi, this is Jack Jackson. Jack Jackson, pleasure to make your acquaintance.
Mm-hmm.
It's me, Mike Todwell. Bradley Whitford's character from Adventure in Babysitting.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm a boy, 18 or so. I have a car. There's a license plate on it. It says, "So cool." I was hoping to intern at your company.
Yeah.
And I thought I'd fit right in because my name is clearly just something Jack and Tanner made up for the Deep Voice boys.
Was it originally Todd Todwell and then they felt like that was...
too on the nose.
Just a little bit too on the nose?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Mike Todwell. Hey, ask me how I Todd.
So cool.
Well.
You're hired. Do you have any babysitting adjacency? Because what we do here at CinerTech, which is where I am the undersecretary, is a babysitting conglomerate.
Yeah, I've got a little bit of experience. My ex-girlfriend used to babysit a couple of rat kids. The guy from Rent, a girl who's obsessed with Thor,
mm-hmm.
Brad. You know Brad?
Bradley Whitford.
Yeah. And then I have a little sister who's sick, and I take care of her when she's sick, too.
And she definitely is sick.
Yep.
That wasn't an excuse.
My parents have like a thing, so they can't take care of her. So
okay.
I do have to actually cancel this job interview.
Okay.
And go and take care of her. And I'm sorry, and I will make it up to you. I swear to you, Jason Bourne. What's your name?
Jack Jackson. I'll say before you go, it's just such a shame that it felt like we were really going to get to know this new character who had kind of a lot of potential. Jack Jackson, who he came from. A lot of people don't know this, but I actually came from the deep state. I'm the undersecretary at CinerTech. I'm best friends with Mark Markson and Daveson, who mysteriously disappeared and nobody knows where they went, and Rich Richardson is around, but he won't say anything about it, and Goliath Hardbody doesn't care, and I came from the deep state to kind of whip this thing into shape, but it sounds like you're going to have to go.
I have to go,
won't have time
my sister
to learn
is
more about
sick,
my character.
And I do have to cancel the job interview, but I want you to know,
yeah,
Jack Jackson,
yeah,
that you are the most special deep voice boy I've ever met in my life.
Okay, well, I guess deep voice boys like me. Do you mean to say D-voice boys like me come along only once in a lifetime?
Jack Jackson, I want you to know that D-voice boys like you only come around once in a lifetime.
Or twice in the same night.
Or twice in the same night. And how did you catch me? It turns out that I'm at a fancy French diner with Mark Markson.
I think it's Rich Richson. Mark Markson is gone and no one knows where he went.
Okay. Right. Goodbye.
And
click.
Scene.
You know, Sess, girls like you come along once in a lifetime.
Or twice in the same night.
Oh, wow.
A new deep voice boy. Wow. This late in the canon.
It's astonishing. But that's what this... Yeah.
That's fan service. It's called fan service. Look it up.
That's what Cyril says all the time.
Speaking of some things people say all the time, guy from Rent has a pretty catchy catchphrase in this film. He says, You think? He says it at the least natural times.
He's very unpleasant.
Very unpleasant, yeah.
He like blackmails. Let me ask you this question.
Yep.
Is Leaving Las Vegas, which is the other movie I've seen, apart from The Saint, with Elizabeth Shue in it.
Saint, hell of a film.
It's a hell of a film, and it's underrated, and people don't talk about it enough. Yeah, and it rules.
Is that a babysitting film?
No.
Did you watch that show, The Pretender, back in the 90s?
Yes.
It was sort of The Saint, except it was a TV show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's my question for you. Is Leaving Las Vegas in the same narrative universe as this?
I am convinced that this is the same narrative universe as The Babysitter's Club, and that Elizabeth Shue's character is really just Stacey McGill.
Her name is Chris!
She's obsessed with the city.
She's not Christy, though. She's no Christy. So this is Stacey McGill, like, 4 years from the events of The Babysitter's Club.
Yep. I think that Daryl is Jackie Radowski.
Daryl is the guy from boy Rent. From Rent who's problematic and difficult. Yeah.
I think Brad is Byron. I think right. Sarah Byron is Leftwich. Whoever the youngest female Pike is. Claire?
No, Sarah's too important for that. She's good. She's like tons of fun. So this Thor girl.
Claire's fun. Claire says no air.
She's nothing. Yeah, sure. Fine. Claire Pike. I'll allow it.
Okay.
She's obsessed with Thor.
She's obsessed with Thor, and Vincent D'Onofrio on more water. Like a bad blonde wig on at one point. He runs Dawson's Garage. His name is Dawson.
Yeah.
And he has a bad blonde wig on, and Sarah's convinced that he is Thor in disguise.
Right.
And she gives him her Thor helmet that she wears throughout the entire film.
Mm-hmm.
But first he threatens to beat up Brad because there was some misunderstanding about Thor's sexuality.
Right, and we've covered it.
Yeah.
It's not great. The way that it's handled is not great.
Not great, Chris Columbus.
Yeah.
Weird that Christopher Columbus named the lead character in this film after himself, even though Chris is not traditionally a female name.
True.
If I remember correctly, it's a running joke in the Pat segment of Saturday Night Live.
Perfect. And that's another thing that stands the fucking test of time.
I do believe that.
Glad we're talking about it.
David Spade really plays holds up. Pat's lover named Perfect. Chris, and it's Perfect. Also sort of
it's unclear, an ambiguous name.
Yeah,
I'm glad we're talking about it. And
do we want to get into the? Do we want to get into the nuts and bolts of Pat and whether or not that's an issue? Because I
would
I'm
like
coming
to
down staunchly on the side of Pat being pretty problematic too.
There goes my hero. He's ordinary. And that's about you. Tanner, we have a little bit of time left in this show. And what I'd like to do, what we'd like to do in these episodes that are, this is season 5.
Yeah.
The first show.
The podcast.
And what we like to do in the seasons after the first season is we do like to talk about the babysitting pros and cons and what's good babysitting and what's bad babysitting and really analyze the film or the novel from the point of view of the babysitting in it.
We've already sounded off a little bit on the fellatio stuff.
Yeah.
I say bad.
It's fraught. because it's all babysitting. The whole novel is babysitting.
I think it's the mouth.
Excuse me?
It's a different thing.
What are you saying? Are you making it? I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Do you want to take a second to fucking think about it? About whether we want to talk about this?
I don't want to, but you brought it up.
It's fraught.
Okay.
Listen,
thank you for hitting the A-U-G-H pretty hard.
The whole novel is about babysitting from start to finish. And there is babysitting throughout. But as a babysitter, you shouldn't do any of the things that Elizabeth Shue does, I think. I'm just trying to think. Here's the thing. I'm struggling with whether she's a good babysitter or a bad babysitter. It's objectively the case that Elizabeth Shue, from the Leaving Las Vegas narrative universe, saves the children from being killed by car thieves in this film.
Well, sure, but...
But she also shouldn't have taken them in to car thieves in
right.
at all. In the first place. And
I think
that's
a lot
bad.
Of the blame falls on the feet of Mallory Pike in this one.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, Mallory Pike.
She sort of gets herself in a situation that she can't solve, where she's stuck at this bus terminal, and she fails to consider all of the possibilities in front of her, and she sort of ends up just relying on Madeline Stilwell coming into the city
right.
to save her.
Yes.
Even though she has a babysitting charge.
Right.
She could call her parents. She doesn't.
She doesn't.
She can call the police. Doesn't.
She doesn't.
Call a cab. Doesn't.
$40 cab ride. They cover that. It's too expensive.
Oh, they find $50 to repair the car somehow.
Yeah, Thor repairs the car for $50. He, like, fixes a bullet hole in the windshield.
And a pop tire, you know.
And a pop tire. So that's a pretty good... I had a garden guy come over today. He hasn't given me a quote yet. So when I moved here, I didn't know how to have a garden. I lived in New York for most of my adulthood, so I don't know how to have a garden. And what has happened, especially over the last year, which for a lot of people who don't know, it's been a pandemic, and it's been a lot of just
tough.
It's been pretty tough, and so I haven't.
Tough.
I haven't done whatever it is you're supposed to do with the garden. But so finally I got a landscaper to come over and just give me a quote. I haven't got the quote yet. But he showed up and I was like, hey, look, here's the thing. I don't know how to say this, but I fucked up my garden so bad. It's so bad.
You said that to him?
Yeah. I was like, look, just look at this. It's so bad.
I tried to insult, but I discovered later that that's actually bad.
Like, whatever is happening. He was just like this dude, you know, who like, he was like, what can I do for you? And I was like, I don't know, but look at this. When I got here, this was nice and it was green and there was grass. And now it looks like this.
Oh, do you mean garden in the British sense of the word?
What do you say?
Your backyard?
Sure.
Okay.
And my front yard. Yeah.
And
what
the
do
front
you,
yard.
You what
don't
do you
mean
say?
A literal garden.
That's what like a garden
you've,
is.
You've planted like flowers.
Yeah. And, like, there are two things are tomatoes. The same. Sometimes you plant flowers, sometimes it's your yard.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. I'm realizing that there's like a translational issue. And I'm for new listeners, I'm secretly British. It's my yard.
I thought maybe you just failed to grow some flowers.
No.
In a way that was distressing to you.
The grass is
gone. It turns out that you've killed your yard.
The grass is gone.
Okay. Well, you live in a hellhole.
But it was similar to
like
the
hellmouth. It's so hot and unpleasant.
It's so hot. But I was like,
how can anything grow?
But we were like at cross purposes for a while because he was like, what do you want done? And I was like, I don't
you
know.
Tell me,
I just
bud.
Like you. I don't know. Here's the thing: this used to look nice, and now it looks bad.
This is the conversation I have every time I go to get my haircut. They're like, "What do you want?" And
yeah,
I was just
exactly.
like, "I don't know. You tell me."
Exactly.
Want,
you're the fucking.
I want this dealt with.
Haircutting expert. You fucking tell me.
Yeah.
No, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. With haircuts, I always have that conversation, motherfucker. You're the fucking scissor man. You what cut my hair. For? Don't tell yeah. me. Don't make me fucking like, oh, I'm going to like fucking spit haircutting knowledge at you. Just like make yeah. it look not bad. And it's true with gardens. And it was true also with this car.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why I was talking about that.
I can't remember. It's been they such a long it. Journey. We were talking about Frottage at one point.
You were, and Thor, but Thor fixes the car, and the girl is obsessed with Thor, and it's and he doesn't want to do it because they don't have enough money. But she gives
and
him
they
her
don't
helmet.
Have enough water.
There's more water, and that's Vincent D'Onofrio, and he's so young.
He is so young. He's like a hunk too.
He's so young. And yeah. he's very good. He doesn't do much. Yeah, he just stands there. Like he creep. Honestly is more water guy. He's Edgar.
Yeah.
he just stands there like
he plays. Yeah. Menacing presence.
Thor.
Sarah.
Oh, Thor, mighty god of thunder.
Who is this kid?
You must be Mr. Dawson, right?
Secret identity.
What do you want?
Mr. Pruitt sent us. This is our car.
Give me sugar and water. Oh.
And your skin is hanging off your bones.
It's like 1,000 feet tall.
What a fantastic film. The movie ends
and
with
and then they
a...
get home just in time,
yes,
don't they?
Just in time.
Well,
yeah.
there's a whole other set piece, which is a building in Chicago with like a big... diamond-shaped roof.
In the 80s, for folks who didn't live through the 80s, in the 80s, it was a law that every single movie had to end with a battle on a roof that was under construction in some way.
Right.
Like, I don't know if you've seen Three Men and a Baby recently, but contrary to what anyone's memories of that film are, most of the film is like the last 30 minutes where they have like a battle on a roof that's under construction.
Yep.
Because that's just like
Die Hard.
Lethal Weapon. That's just like how you do it.
yeah.
And so they had
they
the,
were
Christopher
building
Columbus,
a lot of skyscrapers like, in the '80s, and they yeah. were just like, well, we got this space.
we
got
to do something.
May as well use it. You know.
So they have a lot of that, and it's good. And then the Thor girl falls out the window, and it gave me vertigo. And I've got vertigo. That's my Jimmy Stewart impression. I've got vertigo. Oh, I'm afraid of yeah. heights. What do you think? I'm afraid of heights, and it's from Vertigo.
It's bad.
It's a wonderful life.
now it's better. I wanted to say it was bad, and then you said the iconic line. it's a wonderful life.
And then they come home, and then like the last like the car chase where they're trying to race the parents home. Goes super fast, and instead Christopher Columbus decides to have the real excitement be, is Elizabeth Shue gonna like clean off the counter in time?
Yeah, because when they left the house they left in a hurry, and Brad was supposed to like clean up some mess in the kitchen. So that the main point of tension this entire film, the driving force, was will they get home in time to clean up that mess?
Yeah, and it's good. And it's good.
And
we
said
everything.
And she does.
That's yeah. everything in the film. We said the whole film.
And then
I
she leaves.
It. Yeah.
She leaves the babysitting gig, and she walks outside, and who's there but the adult baby? And he says, please babysit me.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of interesting fetish discussion in this film.
It's been great. Mostly coming from you, I've found, but it definitely
mostly coming from the film.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's all in the text.
Like, right.
I love this one.
Yeah, much better than last week's, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
What's next, though, Jack? What are we even going to... We've got a big list, and the Baby Nation contributed
people,
to it.
Folks, I want to say thank you to everybody who has given us suggestions. We've got a lot of really great suggestions in various formats. People have been emailing us. People have been putting it on Facebook. People have been tweeting at us. I'm glad that everyone is invested in the idea of rediscovering that a film or a book or some other property is actually about babysitting.
Right.
Let's look at our list here. Because we are
have you updated
committed.
It?
I've updated it. I updated it with a couple of suggestions. So at some point we got to do Stranger Things
Stranger Things. We already discussed it a little bit in the Mandalorian. Nope, in the Waterworld episode.
Did we?
Because she's in there, Enola.
Oh, yeah, Enola Holmes from Stranger Things is in it, yeah.
And there's a whole meme around the second season of Stranger Things being about a gentleman called Steve.
Yeah, and he does the babysitting. Kids.
Should we do that next?
Say what?
Should we do it next?
Yeah, let's do it. Stranger Things. Let's do Stranger Things, and we'll do Stranger Things next.
Baby Nation, you're going to have to hop back a little bit.
Yeah.
I know there's currently three seasons of Stranger Things, but we will only be covering the second season of Stranger Things.
Yeah.
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 So,
because it's an iconic babysitting movie.
Yeah.
Excellent. It looks like I would like to say to you something, and what it is thank you for bearing with me.
Hey, you're welcome.
And thank you to the Baby Nation for bearing with us. What we like to do on this show is talk about iconic instances of babysitting. It has ever been thus, and so it continues to be. Mm. And this week we talked about Adventures in Babysitting, which is one of the most iconic babysitting things ever. What I would like to remind everybody is that we have a Patreon where we talk about the Little Sister books, and it's the Big Sister Little Episode show, and you must listen to it. And it is a mere $5 a month, and you get a whole episode a week, and it's good and it's fun, and we sing the descriptions, and it's also a good way to keep us alive. And please do subscribe to it, and you must. That's at patreon.com/bscc podcast. Please do buy our merch, bit.ly/bscc merch. Join the Baby Nation Facebook group. It's tons of fun in there. Everyone is nice and good, and you also, assuming you are nice and good, can be admitted in there, and you will find your people and your home, and you will be welcomed with open arms. And that's the Baby Nation Facebook group. Search for it on Facebook.
If you're not nice and good, you'll be summarily executed.
Yes, and that's one of the downsides. But otherwise,
publicly
it's good.
Executed.
It's like that one episode of Star Trek Next Generation, which is, I think is maybe my favorite episode. You know what I'm talking about? Where it's like the world is perfect, but like the
any crime is,
but like Wesley Crusher like accidentally falls into a flower bed while he's trying to catch a football, and they're like, oh no, now you have to be executed.
Sorry, now it's time to be executed. Yep.
Interesting.
Yeah,
and it is that one. That's what it's like in there, and also watch Star Trek The Next Generation. And finally,
interesting
please,
to think about whether or not every episode with Wesley Crusher in it is a
babysitting episode. Yeah, and everything's babysitting
to explore,
isn't it?
Hey, when you're a babysitter, everything looks like a baby.
That's Heidegger.
Heidegger said that. And
Heidegger said that. It's
speaking of problematic.
It's called.
Let's dig
what's
into
the German
Heidegger a little
for
bit.
Ready to hand.
What was Heidegger up to in the 30s and 40s? Jack, remind me.
Ready to hand. He was writing Being in Time. Zuhandenheit, readiness to hand. So it's like it means like. What a hammer, which is the metaphor he uses, feels like a thing for banging things, but only because of like the way that you hold it.
Right. If you held it's it something by to think the about. Head, it would feel like a maybe some like a drumstick or something.
Or something to poke with or to point. That's interesting. It's interesting to think about. I'm realizing that I'm entering an area where I don't totally want to talk about Heidegger's philosophy.
Why not?
He had some difficult,
challenging
opinions.
Ideas.
Listen, what I'd love to do is tell everybody to rate and review our show on Apple Podcasts. It helps us to move through the rankings. And if you leave a nice review, I will read it. And just please do it. But be nice and don't be nasty.
Yeah.
And everyone is mostly nice, and we have lots of 5-star ratings. And thank you to everybody who has rated our show on Apple Podcasts. If you've been listening for a while, please do that. All that remains is for me to say this week is that this week we read a novel. It was called Adventures in Babysitting. It's the ultimate babysitting text. Next week we're going to be reading a classic novel called Season of Stranger Things that Steve is does the most of the
season
babysitting
two.
In.
Season
and
two, yeah.
Finally, guess what? What's my name?
What?
It's Jack Alexander Shepard.
Okay.
And what is your name?
Tanner.
Please do remember to round off the corners in your bedroom, drown all your dolls, call your senator, and demand your right to bear time, and do not forget to let Daddy love you as much as I do. Remember the Delaney's. Remember the Trip Man. Take your dream horse through that maze. Claudia is wearing a bra now, and the way she talks, you would think that boys had just been invented.
In
tell Baby Nation, by the way, about any gifts you got for your birthday?
Yeah. I got a nice gift from you, and you sent me one. And
I should tell Baby Nation about this, too.
It's Walter.
It's Walter.
I got a lovely gift, and it's still in its package, and Cyril and I are having a fight about it. That is a very...
In what way?
Boy and dad having a fight, but they're both boys. Where, like, there's a fish in it. Yes, he's like completely on it. So Tanner sent me from my birthday.
It's a mutant eel.
A very cool action figure from, I guess, the limited run action figures from Waterworld. But Cyril is very uninterested in the man. He was just like, what's that fish? And he comes with a mutant moray eel. And Cyril and I are having a fight about whether we should open the package, basically. Cyril says, open this.
He knows it's a collectible, right?
Well, and that's what I'm trying to say, that it's a collectible. And I also have a Jane Austen action figure, and I kind of want to open them both to try to make them kiss.
Right.
Because wouldn't that be perfect?
Good instinct. Right.
Anyway, we're at an impasse, and I've said I won't open it. But it was a very nice gift, and thank you. And honestly, it triggered this, like, I don't know. I guess you ordered it off eBay, so you haven't seen it. But it, like...
Well, you sent me pictures.
It triggered this, like, atavistic impulse inside me that, like, I used to buy G.I. Joes. They were $3, and I would sometimes, if I like had saved up my allowance for a while, which was like $2 a week, Jesus, for a long time, I would go and I would buy 3 G.I. Joes at once. And like that feeling of having that package with like a guy in it, it really like awakened those impulses where I was like, I just like strongly, even at my age, want to open this packet and like set him up on some kind of a mountain and have some of the other guys storm the mountain.
The costs associated with that figurine that I purchased off eBay were at a level where I don't think it would decrease the value if you opened it and played with it.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.